We're going to be spending a little time in Colossians 3 tonight. I know that about a year ago we went through the book of Colossians, so we're not doing that tonight. But as you know, Colossians is a book that exalts Christ, and perhaps along with Hebrews, it's known for that very thing, the exaltation of who Jesus is. So in the first chapter of Colossians, we find Jesus pictured as creator of the world, sustainer of all things. We see him as the head of the church, which is his body. We see him as the fullness of God, as reconciler. Colossians chapter 1 is all about the need to acknowledge Jesus for who he is. Then Colossians 2 describes the need to defend those truths about him. And without going into great detail about the backdrop of the book, evidently there was heresy in Colossae, or at least the threat of it, where there were some who were saying, Jesus and the gospel are necessary, but you also need to keep the law of Moses. Or they were saying, Jesus and the gospel are necessary, but you need to worship angels. Or Jesus and the gospel is necessary, but you need special revelation to go along with it. Or Jesus and the gospel are necessary, but you need to basically practice asceticism, punish your body, and so forth. And Paul talks about how all those things are needless because Colossians 2 and verse 10, you're complete in him. He's all you need. And then in chapter 3, after describing and discussing who Jesus is, the need to defend that truth, he gets to the practical aspect of the book where he gets to the subject of what it means to live for Jesus. And so in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, Paul says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. And then in verse 4 he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now we'll come back to that in just a second. We really want to home in on verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you can tune me out and think about that, or you can follow me at this juncture if you wish, either one. Did you have a good, the fathers in the crowd, did you have a good Father's Day? Trent, did you have a good Father's Day? Did your kids treat you all right? Oh, I'm sorry, I got confused there for a second. Hope you had a good Father's Day. I was thinking today when my father was alive, and Cheryl, you're going to like this, I was confused for him sometimes because we shared the same name. You might not know it, but I'm a junior. I'm Billy James Burke, Jr. Had to throw that, you know, Southern Admiral of the Confederate Army on the end of that. But I'm a junior, and my father was senior, Billy James Burke, Sr., so occasionally, you know, there might be a mix-up in the mail. Something to be sent to him, be sent to me, and vice versa. Now, Cheryl, you know I didn't live up to my father's good looks, as I've told you. I'll share that story with you as well. When my father passed away, we had the viewing. And if I told you this before, I'll stop, okay? Okay, I'm grieving my father's death, and my father was 74 when he died, so I'm assuming this woman was somewhere in that region. When she came in, said she was a friend of my father's growing up, and I'm thinking she must have been old girlfriends, all I figured. And she came just kind of sashaying into place, you know, just kind of loud and brash. And she walked over to me, and she kind of looked at me, and I said, I'm Bill Burke, Bill Burke Jr. I said, that's my dad. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. She looked me up and down, and she said, you're not nearly as good looking as your father was. Yeah, it upset me too, baby. It really, you know, actually I thought it was funny. You know, it made my mother extremely angry, but I thought it was funny. You know, I wasn't crowing about, you know, I don't have any of these visions of grandeur about how I look or anything, so I wasn't shocked. You know, I was like, yeah, I got you. But So anyway, I wasn't confused for him in that way. Looks like we got a major meltdown over here. Uh-oh. Well, that's funny how that just kind of stopped. Huh. I don't know what to think about that. You did see the big one, though, today. She was real good, so you know, that was pretty nice. Like I was saying, occasionally I have been confused, my father's identity confused with my own. Now, you may never have run into such a thing, but I did. Maybe some of the Houstons, Lance, maybe occasionally somebody might think you're one of the many brothers or something like that, but it's an interesting sort of a stage when somebody thinks you're somebody else. But I was never ashamed of being, you know, someone thinking I was my father. It just never bothered me that, in, you know, the slightest. Good man taught me right from wrong, and so when someone would say, are you Bill Burke? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd say, I thought you were a lot older than that. I'd say, no, you have my father in mind. You have my father in mind. And the reason they got confused is because I wear his name, right? I wear his name. Now, all of that brings us back to Colossians chapter 3, particularly verse 3, and then also tied to that, verse 4. As Paul talks about the practical side of what it means to serve Jesus, who is all the things he is described as in Colossians chapter 1, and he talks about that being the case. This is how you're to live. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind or your affections on those things. And then the reason we're to do that, again, verse 3, he says, for you died. Let's just stop there for a second and think about that. For you died. Now I'm looking around the room at followers of Jesus. You don't look like dead folks to me. In fact, you're breathing. Some of you even have your eyes open. You look alive. So what does it mean when he said, for you died? We understand that when we became Christians, when we obeyed the gospel, we died to sin. We died to the old man, the person we used to be. And that death transpired when we were buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4 discusses that very truth that describes all of us who have become Christians. And so in verse 2 of Romans 6, Paul said, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So Paul says, for you died. So he's talking to people who died through obedience to the gospel, right? Patterning their lives after Jesus, following him, contacting his blood through a reenactment of his death, burial, and resurrection through baptism into Christ. That's what he's talking about. All right, he says, you've died. Now, when you came up from the waters of baptism, in many respects, you were still who you always were. But he says, verse 3, for you died in your life, that is who you used to be, and even your present existence now you may have in mind. For you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. What does that mean? Your life is hidden with God in Christ. It means that from now on, as far as identity is concerned, your relationship with God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to overshadow who you are to the point where others see Christ in you. In other words, the will of God, the Word of God, is to begin to be seen in your life more and more, increasing more and more, as you draw closer to God and begin to follow Jesus that much more closely. For you died and your life is hidden. Now Christ is to be seen in you. Same book, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what others ought to see in each of us. But then the kicker is, verse 4 of Colossians 3, Paul says, when Christ, who is your what? And I want you to look at that and just kind of reflect on it. Christ, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is reminiscent of some other statements of Paul, isn't it? For me to live as Christ and to die as gain, Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. And Christ, who is your life, appears. And again, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Once Paul became a Christian, he identified fully with Jesus. Everything he did, everything he strove to do, had behind it his motivation, drawing that much closer to God through Christ and becoming that much more like the Lord who had saved him from his sins. And Paul desired that Christ be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death, Philippians 1:20. He wanted Christ to be seen in everything that he did, to the point that others might very well get confused asked whether or not they were seeing Paul or Jesus. Question is Christ your life? And all of us have to think about that, don't we? Can you honestly say that when you think about why you live and what you do, what motivates you, what enthuses you, that it all goes back to your relationship with God through Jesus? And when Paul was asked, or when he stated, nonetheless, what he wanted more than anything else, he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I want to know him. That means I want to identify with him in everything. And we talked about what it means to know God this morning, right? And we talked about passion in Christ, or passion in life. It has to do with becoming more like Jesus, fearing God, keeping his commandments. So, when we look at Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4, now that we're Christians, we wear his name. Now that we're Christians, we're living such a way as to identify with him in all things. And therefore, because of that, there are certain things that will likely follow that I want us to think about for just a few minutes as we think about this concept. In other words, if I wore my father's name, so people confused me with him, at least legally oftentimes, and through paperwork and mail. Cheryl, again, we know. When you become a Christian, you're going to wear the Lord's name, and it should be the case that others, when they see you, they think of him. Wouldn't it be nice if people confused us by our attitudes and actions with Jesus? When I was growing up and first got introduced to the gospel, I was introduced by a guy, Lehman Keel, preacher. He was the one who baptized me, taught me the truth. A little bitty guy about that tall. And if you're about that tall, you're bigger than I know, so don't get mad at me. Think, that's my height. He just said a little bitty guy. To me, Lehman was a little bitty guy. But he was powerful as a preacher and a minister and probably did more good one-on-one work than anybody I know. And he talked about, he would take this old van. And I remember he'd go pick up, you know, you'd almost think the misfits of the community. He had a heart for people that were sort of the downtrodden. And so he'd show up at the old church building and out would, you know, pile out this motley crew group of folks, but good people that Lehman had such a influence over and helped teach them the gospel. And he talked about how there was one house he would go to, and the little boy, anytime he'd come to the house, would always say, Mama, Jesus is here. That's a tough road, you get it. That's hard, you know, to live up to that, isn't it? But that's how the little boy saw him. That's what he thought. Jesus has come to pick us up in the van. They confused Lehman with Jesus. And Lehman wasn't a perfect man, but he certainly did his best to live a life that let his light shine. But the world will confuse us if our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And if Christ is our life, the world will confuse us with him. Won't they? They will confuse us with him. Which brings great responsibility, doesn't it? You know, the three times in Scripture the Bible refers to us, to those who follow Jesus, as Christians. We talked about this months back, Acts 11, 26, Matthew 26, 28, 1 Peter 4, 16. And remember 1 Peter 4, 16? If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. That's what the American Standard Version says. Or glorify God in this matter. We wear Jesus' name. Christian means follower of the Christ. So when someone says, are you a Christian? You say yes, and you profess that, you're professing to wear his name, to identify with him, that you belong to him. And in many cases, you, as we've said before, will be the only thing they know about the Christian life. Don't be surprised when people confuse you with Christianity. And may it be that the witness, and I'm not using it in the sense as biblical witnesses, but may it be that your witness to Jesus is one that shines the kind of light that ought to be shown. People will confuse us. Again, look at Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Let's think about something else we might glean from it. Jew died, your life is hidden with God in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and you also will appear with him. If I wear Jesus' name, if his life is my life, what's something that follows that we need to take note of? We should never be ashamed of wearing the name. We just talked about three times in Scripture the name is found as we typically think about it. We should never be ashamed of it. You know, there have been people, and we've all heard stories, we've maybe known people that because of family, because of, like we said this morning, maybe they had a father or grandfather that didn't behave themselves. They were ashamed to let people know who they were. Family name. They didn't want to say, what's your name again? They really didn't want to say because people might know the family, and if they know the family, they're not going to think very highly of them, so they were ashamed. But let's think about Jesus for a minute. Is there any reason at all that any of us ever ought to be ashamed of wearing the name of Christ? It's interesting, out of all those who have walked about in flesh and blood, with bone, lived as a human being, there's only one person who never did anything worthy of shame. That's Jesus. At least three times in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Roy knows that one right off the bat. That's his chapter. 1 John 3:5. 1 Peter 2:22. Three times in Scripture, the Bible speaks of Jesus as one who never sinned. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in him. He never sinned. There was nothing that he ever did that would cause us to think, I don't want to identify with him because of A, B, C, or D. He never did anything like that. So there's never a reason to be ashamed. What did Paul say about the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Never be ashamed to wear the name. If there's one thing we ought to boast in, it's the cross of Jesus, right? Galatians chapter 6. And if somebody says, are you a Christian? We ought to put our chest out and say, yes, I am. Not because we're proud of ourselves, but we boast in the one who has done so much for us. And then again, on the negative side of that, there is some concern and worry that if we choose to be ashamed of the gospel, what happens? What if we're ashamed of the Lord and his word? Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Then when he comes, his father will be ashamed of us. We don't want that to happen. But there's no reason to ever be ashamed. I was never ashamed to wear my father's name. Jesus, in his life, in the way he lived, he was much greater, certainly. My father pales in comparison. As good of a man as he was, I should never, ever feel ashamed of being a Christian. But we feel that temptation sometimes, don't we? When people press us or they say something that's not accurate, we don't quite know how to handle it, we kind of want to step back and say, well, you know, don't involve me in this. We should never be ashamed to wear that name. To say, yes, Christ is my life. And this is the third thing. If indeed we have died, our lives are hidden with God and Christ. If indeed Christ is our lives, plural, then it ought to be the case that Jesus never did anything that should shame us, and we in turn then should never do what? Anything that would shame him or bring reproach on his cause. That's something to think about, isn't it? Because what did we say a moment ago? Because of our identity with Jesus, we wear his name. People oftentimes will look at us and say, well, to me, this person that I know, he represents Christianity. And people are, and all of us are, human beings, we're real bad about broad brushing everything, right? We might say of any category of people, well, you know, men are always like this, or whatever. Well, no, not all are. You know, if we're saying something negative about a group of people or an organization, whatever it may be, when we broad brush, we're basically throwing everybody into the same sack, and it may not be true. But people do that regarding us as it pertains to Christianity. If you misbehave yourself, if you don't live up to your privileges, if your conduct's not honorable and worthy of the gospel, they'll look at you and they'll think, well, Bill is not what we thought Christianity's supposed to be. He's not even close, and therefore it must be illegitimate. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, is that fair? I'm just one person. But is it not the truth that oftentimes people look at one person and draw all their conclusions about what they're going to do with the gospel and the Lord and the interest they'll show based on their relationship with that one person? As we've said before, in one sense, there are five gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. And most of the time, for so many people, you will be the only gospel that they ever choose to read. And as I point at you, my thumb's pointing back at me. So we have to, you know, if you love your parents, especially as you get older, do you ever want to do anything that would cause them to be ashamed of you? I mean, even when you're young, if you love your parents, you know, you might get away with some things and do some things you shouldn't, but down deep somewhere you think, man, I'm not going to do that, because if I do that, then mom and dad are going to look bad, and I don't want them to look bad. You don't want to bring shame on your parents if you love them, if you care about them. Do you want to bring shame on your Lord by misbehavior and misconduct to the point that others might say, if that's what Christianity is all about, then I don't want to have anything to do with it? It's a scary sort of thought. But if we do choose to act inappropriately, there's only one that we can blame. I couldn't blame my parents for the bad decisions I made. They raised me right. And if I choose to do what's wrong, I can't blame the Lord whose name I wear for what I've done, because He's already provided everything I need. He's left the perfect example. So if I step out of line, whose fault is it? It's mine, and it's mine alone. But here's the thing again. People will oftentimes judge Him based on what I do. Therefore, if I wear His name, if I belong to Him, my life is tied up in His. If His life is supposed to be mine, I don't ever do anything that would bring any shame to Him. Let's read the section and we'll close. Colossians 3. Let's read it together. One more time, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Christ, who is our life, appears. Then you also will appear with Him in glory. And as you're probably aware, as you continue reading Colossians 3, and that's your homework for tonight. And there's not really any homework, but it'd probably be helpful if all of us looked at Colossians 3. We see what it means to live that life, what we're to put off and what we're to put on, what we're to do and what we're not, so that we can wear His name and represent Him in the way that He ought to be represented. You know, you listened really well tonight. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, did you get good naps after a good meal today? Is that what happened? Some people said, you don't realize I was sound asleep. But you look like you listened well, and that's always appreciated. Herschel has announced an invitation song, probably on a Sunday night. We're with the faithful, and it's unlikely that somebody might need to obey the gospel, but everything's ready for that. We have water. Maybe someone's present and been thinking about obeying the truth and you haven't done it. What a great night to put on your Lord in baptism and have your sins forgiven. And then, of course, you can represent Him and you can wear His name and He can be your life, and that's what you were created to enjoy and experience. Maybe you just need prayer or something else. If we can assist you, won't you come at this time?